This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Actually, Lance Zierlein, Adam Wexler, and Von B. with you today. And we've been talking some Rockets basketball. We hit on Astros. Now it's time to do what my other gig is, the NFL draft. And joining the show right now is one of my favorite guys. He's been one of my favorite guys for a long time. The draft fans' true draft voice, and that would be Mike Mayock from the NFL Network. Mike, man, thanks. First of all, I'm doing about 2 to 3 shows a day over the last 2 weeks, and I'm turning down about that many requests. So I can only imagine how it's going for you. And I know you got to prepare for your full week over there in Dallas. So I appreciate you taking time out to join the show and talk to us. I want to get right into this. Everybody, the first question you're always asking all the shows is the quarterbacks. It's the first question we're always asked about these quarterbacks. I think that this is a highly unusual class in that I see 5 guys who could be potentially really good, but I think 4 of them have a little lower floors than you would also like. And the one guy I exclude personally, Mike, is Darnold, who I think is probably the safest in my estimation out of this group. How do you see the ceiling floor variance? Because I didn't think Goff and Wentz's floors were as low as what some of these guys could potentially be.
You know, I agree with almost everything you said right there. And I mean, to establish a basis, I would say that the 2 easiest quarterback evaluations I've personally had in the last 7, 8, 10 years are Andrew Luck and Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. And my dad, who was my high school football coach, asked me before the Wentz draft, "I've never seen you bang a table so hard for a kid. Why Carson Wentz?" And I said, "Dad, on top of all the physical stuff, arm talent, size, athletic ability, feet, accuracy, aside from all that, when you walk away from the kid, you feel like you just walked away from Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, etc." And I don't feel that with any of the quarterbacks this year. I'm with you on Darnold. He's my number one guy. There's still some concerns about ball security with him.
20 games and 20 interceptions in the last 20. That's a problem.
And it's not just interceptions.
Fumbles, yeah.
He's had a fumble history since high school. And I think you can tighten that up. And I think he beats you both inside and outside the pocket, which is why I like the kid. But it's a buyer beware market. And, you know, 5 of these guys are going to probably go in the first round. And, if history is accurate, we'll probably get 2 good quarterbacks out of the 5.
One guy that I was going to get to – Baker, I will get to Baker now. Let me hit you the Baker stuff right now. All this stuff lately, here's Ryan Leaf. Boy, I close my eyes and I listen to Baker talk and I feel like I'm hearing myself. Baker's like, I'm only looking at some of the playbooks. I don't care about other ones. And maybe that was a bit too honest when he said that out loud.
Yeah.
There were some issues with Senior Bowl, some concerns about whether or not when Baker left at halftime, was it for legitimate reasons? There's all kinds of stuff out there. Since the process of the draft began in really December, has your opinion on Baker Mayfield changed, irrespective of what you see on tape?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, and here's where I am, Lance. And I try to be really fair to the kids, you know, and I don't want to paint him with the Johnny Manziel brush. However, I made a mistake on Johnny Manziel, and I talked myself into – I liked his tape, and he likes to have a couple of beers, and that's okay. And I like to have a few beers in college. And I had no idea how bad this kid was. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about what pisses me off about what I did there is that goes against who I am, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And I told myself, I'm not doing it again. So this kid comes out, and I kind of like his tape, even though I think he throws to wide-open windows in that conference and what they do. He's got so I like his tape. I like his energy and his leadership, but I get very worried about the kid off the field and how he presents himself. And at the end of the day, if you're a GM, it's about eliminating people at each position to get down to who you really like. And I would probably personally, even though I like the kid and I like his talent, I would probably eliminate him from my considerations just because of those concerns.
Mike, don't you think it's kind of inevitable that as you just talked your way through that entire process, there's 32 other rooms that are doing that exact thing. Don't you think it's almost a gimme, a guarantee that there are multiple rooms that just did the exact same thing over the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months with Mayfield?
I think what's happening with Mayfield is he cuts both ways. And I think there are multiple rooms that have eliminated him. And I think there are multiple rooms that are saying, hey, that's just some immaturity. We put him up on the board. We like him. We've had him in our building. We like who he is and what he does. And by the way, when he's on the field, boy, is he energizing and a leader. So, you know, I really do believe there's polarity involved with this kid.
So at this point, do you think the biggest detriment to him being drafted is him?
You say that about all of them, I think.
Well, it used to be the 6 foot, like, well, he's 6 foot. He comes from a scheme, a system. I feel like that's, I kind of get what you're saying, Bun. I'm not sure that, Mike, that's, I don't know. Maybe behind closed doors, that's still a big, big issue with teams. I don't know. Maybe that is still a problem.
What are you talking? I'm sorry. You're talking about the character or the football?
No, I'm talking about
the character.
The character, obviously. But it used to be we go into this draft and you say, well, he's 6 foot tall and he comes from a spread offense. That used to be the knock. Is that even really a huge concern with Baker these days?
I don't think it is. I think there's enough, you know, with Russell Wilson and Drew Brees and opportunity to say, because NFL executives like to point out comparables. He's not 5'9 or 5'10. You know, he's just under 6'1. And I've talked to an awful lot of teams, and I'm talking about GMs and head coaches, and I don't think that's the issue. I don't think the height is an issue. I think it really comes down to whether or not he appeals to you as being, quote, the face of your franchise and the leader in your locker room.
So, when we're visiting with Mike Mayock right now. So when you get to Lamar Jackson, I feel like Lamar might have a better chance to succeed on the next level potentially than Josh Allen. And here's why. And this is kind of this thinking. You have to buy into this brand of thinking. Lamar Jackson is going to have teams who target him who have a plan. You're not going to just go in willy-nilly and say, we're just going to take Lamar Jackson and figure things out, or we'll just put him in our offense. When you draft, the team that drafts Lamar Jackson will have a very specific plan for him, a very specific offense in mind, and they are going to bend what they do to Lamar Jackson's strengths. Bill O'Brien did it with Deshaun Watson by adding some elements of the college football. The RPO stuff was added to Nick Foles. And so I think Lamar Jackson will have somebody draft him with a very specific plan. Josh Allen can go just about anywhere because he has transcendent physical talents. So I almost feel like, Mike, in a way, whoever takes Lamar Jackson will have thought this out and will have a plan that might make the most sense for him. Does that make sense to you?
Look, you're talking to maybe the biggest Lamar Jackson proponent in the country. I really like what he presents to opposing defenses, and I'm with you on the Bill O'Brien example. Bill did a great job with Deshaun Watson, allowing him to play fast and free. And he did it with a in-season adjustment. I mean, they went from Savage to Watson overnight and changed what they did philosophically and schematically. And they went from one of the worst offenses in the league to the most exciting and one of the best offenses in football. And Bill O'Brien allowed him to play like a college quarterback.
I'm sorry. And then, Mike, and then worst again when he got hurt. It was worst again when he got hurt.
Well, I mean, when do you see numbers like, look, they averaged 13 points without him and 34.7 with him? Are you kidding me? I mean, so I'm with you, Lance, on the whole, okay, NFL teams are doing a little better job now understanding what we're getting from college. Lamar is the next level of that. Now, he's not as far as Deshaun Watson in the pass game, but he's a better running quarterback. I've talked to, I can't tell you how many defensive coordinators in the last 6 weeks on all the pro day tour I do and everything. Every time I bring up Lamar Jackson's name to defensive coordinators, the response is the same. It's, I hope he doesn't get drafted in my division because I don't want to have to deal with that twice a year. So the minute you introduce planned quarterback run into an offensive scheme, defensive coordinators have to change their entire game plan. So I'm not trying to say he's ready to revolutionize football today, but Lance, I agree with you. There's going to be a plan in place. If you draft him, there's got to be a plan, and I'm not sure he's ready to play today, but I think some of these teams that have aging quarterbacks that are drafting from 20 to 32, he's got to be uppermost in their mind.
He'll be a Patriot. Watch. And people won't see it coming. They'll say, wait, but the Tom Brady offense. Yeah. Bill Belichick just got his ass kicked by Philadelphia's RPO and Nick Foles. You don't think he thought, boy, I could do that with Lamar Jackson and really crush people? Well, that's my guess. They'll sneak it in there on you.
Well, Mike, as you got into some of the text and stuff, everybody here knows that they're not going to be drafting, barring some deal, until the third round, but they do have three picks there. Are there a couple of names, certainly on the offensive line, probably tackle and or a cornerback that should fall in that 60 to 100 range, where you think the Texans really should be thinking long and hard about taking a player there, a name or two, that could actually impact next year's team?
Yeah. Obviously, they signed Senio Calamete, which I thought was an excellent signing, and I think he played over 60% of the snaps at a couple different positions in New Orleans. They signed Fulton, they signed Henderson, and they needed to do that. So, obviously, that's patchwork, but I thought it was a great job by Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien just to kind of stabilize that thing. And big picture, you know, the bottom line is you've got to take care of Deshaun Watson. Now, Julian Davenport is a developmental left tackle. Do I want to trust him today? You know, with Deshaun Watson, I'm not sure. And this is not a great tackle class, especially up high. But as you get down into the third round, plus or minus, a couple names that I think are of interest. A guy that's been rising is Jerron Christian from Louisville. And at Louisville, they play the old tight and split scheme, which means that he has to put his hand on the dirt on the left side and the right side, which I think is an added advantage. He's young, long arms, athletic, good feet. He's got some significant upside, as does a guy named Joe Noteboom from TCU. I think they're both third-round tackles with upside. I like both of those guys. And if you're talking about the corner class, which I think you have to, Jonathan Joseph is 34. They added Colvin and Batamolfi, but, you know, they've got to get a little younger in corner. I like the third-round corners.
Mm-hmm.
Like Holton Hill has some character issues from Texas. He's a long corner that tackles and can play. Like him a lot. Duke Dawson, Florida, MJ Stewart. I think they're really solid corners that probably project inside but could compete outside if you need them. So you start getting into the third round, and I'm bringing up those corners especially because I think they're tough, hard-nosed, solid football players that can also play special teams, and you've got to keep all those factors in mind.
And, you know, the Texans have three-thirds, so they do have the draft capital to jump into the second round, especially having an early third. They have the draft capital to move into the second round and go get – because I think Noteboom could – I think he could be gone, frankly, late in the second, and I think that might be a guy worth moving up for. And he's a classic example of, on tape, I thought he was one thing. At Senior Bowl, I was like, ooh, that's better than the tape. And at Combine, it's like, ooh, he's got all the measurables, he moves great, and I think he's really helped himself along the way.
Well, he has, but it's a buyer beware situation.
Oh, yeah.
You go back to the TCU tape, and he runs really hot and cold.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of going, how high do I have to buy that inconsistency? Do I want to buy that in the second round? I don't want to give up draft capital to go get Noteboom in the second round. I'd much rather hang in the third round.
Yeah.
You know, and I like the third round this year. I like having three third-round picks. Unless there's somebody in that second round that you bang the table for and say, that's got to be a Houston Texan, I'd rather have all three of those third-round picks and kind of spread it around because I think it's a solid third round, especially, I mean, you want to talk about interior offensive linemen. You know, you can, I mean, Lance, you're the O-line king, man. I mean, there's some really good interior offensive linemen in this draft.
Teams, they're
going to get down in the third and fourth round.
Teams love the interior linemen, don't like the tackles. So it's a bad year to need tackles. It's a good year to need a center or a guard, and there really are. And, you know, Mike, there's so many now tackles who bump to guard. All it's doing is making the guard class even better because now 6'5" is becoming a guard size instead of a tackle size. So it's really, yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's a, and I like Will, you and I both like Will Richardson from NC State. That's another guy I think the Texans could consider who might be able to step in quickly and play right tackle or could bump into guard. So
he's got major character
issues, yeah.
And you could probably get him in the 5th or 6th round. He does have starting right tackle capabilities. I mean, the other guy, Lance, who I really like, and I'm afraid he's going to go in the 2nd round now, is Austin Corbett from Nevada.
Oh,
left tackle. Exactly what you're talking about. Left tackle, yeah. Kicking inside. He's going to be every bit as good, if not better, than Joel Bitonio, who did that from Nevada a few years ago. I love Corbett. He's got a little edge to him. He's smart. He's got a ton of upside. High school wrestler, the whole thing.
Let me tell you, there's no prairies in the 3rd. He's a 2nd all day, and there are teams who are talking about whether or not they should move inside the top 35, 36 picks for him. So he'll be. I think he's got a chance to be that one shocker pick at the end of the 1st round that gets in there. That's how hot his name is getting right now. So it's going to be really interesting to see on him as well. Mike, listen, I know you're super busy. We really appreciate you taking time to join us here on the bench in Houston. And if anybody wants to watch Mike Mayock's coverage and the NFL Network's coverage, of course, Path to the Draft and all the shows throughout the week are going to be fantastic. But then they're also partnering with Fox, so it's going to be a big bang-up show on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You can catch all the draft coverage on the NFL Network. Mike, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Also, follow Mike on Twitter, @MikeMayock.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, appreciate it.